Are listening to Akashic Wisdom. We are a show that talks about the Akashic Records, the impact that this energy can have on your life, and we're talking about how to open the Akashic Records, what the Akashic Records are, how you can use this energy again in your life, and all sorts of things based on your calls. One of the things I want to clear up is that when I open up the Akashic Records, I don't consider myself a psychic. So it's not about telling you the future. It's about helping you understand the now. Because when you understand what's going on in your life right now, how you created it, how it's impacting your life and your choices, how you... Hello? 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 Well, that's funny. I hope I'm on the air. Hello? Okay. my other phone rang. What I'm saying is how you can, what you can expect to understand is how this works when you make your choices in the here and now that creates your future. So, that's what I'm doing. That's what we're doing tonight. And I know that there have been a lot of good shows coming on this evening from BBS. They've been broadcasting live from the Assetti Ranch. And tonight, I also have a really exciting announcement for you. On July 19th, my time is going to change for my show. Not for very much. It's just going to actually be 5 minutes earlier. So instead of it being 8 o'clock Pacific, it's going to be 7:55. And instead of it being... at 11 o'clock Eastern, it's going to be 10:55. But the big difference is I'm going to be on Station 2 right after Dr. Brooks Agnew. And I'm very excited about following his show, and I'm going to be right before Almain. So, you know, those are some really powerful shows. I hope you tune in to not only the folks before me, but also the folks after me. And again, that's Station 2. That's going to happen on July 19th. So mark your calendars. And you, if you go to the BBS radio main home, you'll see where the change is. So that's what's happening there. Okay, so here's the other thing I want to talk to you about. We have a couple of subjects we're going to talk about tonight, but before I get into that, what's been going through my mind and what's come forth from the records is one of my missions is to help connect those who are soulmates with other soulmates. Or those, even if they're not actually soulmates, if they're mates for this lifetime. And so I am now considering, and it's going to have a lot to do with how many people are interested in doing this, I am considering about putting together a type of mystical matchmaking through the Akashic Records. Now, if this is of interest to you, I always have the website of spiritualdatingcommunity.com, but I don't have a website done yet. But I want to know just how much you, my listeners, how many single folks are out there that would be interested in participating in this particular endeavor. I know that there's a lot of folks out there that are looking for their special person, and I would like to be a part of helping you find that person. So if this is of interest to you, I would very much like you to email me your name, your address, and your phone number. I'd like to have a brief conversation with you about this to see what your expectations are. And so I would like you to email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. And just put in the subject line, spiritual dating. And so I want to create a national and international spiritual dating community where we connect with like-minded folks and so that you can find the person to share your life or to share friendship with. There's a lot of things that are in the works here with this particular program. and it's in the very beginnings. And so, again, based on the interest I receive from you, I would like to see how many folks are interested in knowing more about the spiritual dating community. So if you just put spiritual dating in the subject line and you include your name, your address, because the city and state's going to be important, and your telephone number, and send that, email it off to info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom.com. That'd be great. So that's kind of exciting news. So let's talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. I have a couple of subjects, and by the way, remember that this whole program is based on your questions, so feel free to call in your questions about whatever you'd like. Other than your soulmate, we're not going to do soulmate questions tonight. We're just going to talk about different things. I mean, if you want to call in about relationships and what's challenging you, that's okay. We can talk about that. But I want to be able to talk about a few other things. So let me give you the phone number here at the station. You can call in toll free worldwide at 888-815-9756. Now, I put together a thing up on Twitter, and I don't know if it went through on Facebook. They were having some difficulties. But, you know, this is the Independence Day weekend, and we talked about independence last week. And the interesting thing about it is what's come forth from the records as a question that they would like you to consider yourself is, what do you need to release to feel independent and free? What is it within you that you would like to release to help you feel independent and give you the freedom that you desire? You know, we all are captivated or imprisoned within ourselves on certain things. And so it's important that no one can do this work for us. We are at a critical point right now about really moving into our light, moving into our own responsibility. We have been for quite a while. I know this is not a new song, but there are so many different layers of this. There are so many different ways that we can go about it, and there are so many wonderful programs out there that there is no one program that is right for everyone. Everyone has their own way of looking at things, their own formula, if you will, to get at the core issues of what's really going on inside of them, the kind of thing that when you're able to really let go of it, really truly leave that bag of rocks at the side of the road, when you're able to do that, you can enjoy the bliss and the happiness that you were meant to have. So I'd just like you to think about that as we go through the program. If there's someone out there that needs some help in releasing that which no longer serves them, I really invite you to call in tonight. Let's work together, because your work with me tonight would be very important for you as well as important for our listeners, because those people who call in with their issues help so many others, because you're not alone. I know that you may think you are alone in your efforts or your ideas or your challenges, but you're not. You're really not alone. There are so many other people out there that gain information and wisdom from you when you call with your challenges. And that's what this program is all about, to help you understand what's happening in the now. And now, even though possibly some of the challenges were in the past, they're still affecting you in the now. They affect you in the way you make your decisions, in the people you attract, in your financial aspect. They affect you in all different areas. And, you know, many times people will listen into the show and they will assume that the information that comes from the records is just logical. Well, that's just logical. That's what anybody would say. The interesting thing about that is it's not that it's not logical. Actually, your soul's information is very logical. That's the whole part of the issue. The issue around your soul's information is it's not woo-woo. It's not otherworldly. It's information that is meant for you to hear, to see, and to receive in a very concrete way so that you may make the choices that are appropriate for you. And if you've listened before, you know that that the record keepers will never tell you what to do. Specifically, they'll give you suggestions. But they'll never really tell you what to do. They'll give you all the information you need in order to make the appropriate decisions. Because, my wonderful friends, there is no magic pill. We came to this planet to work our learning, our challenges. And so what I want you to know is that this is about you. And it's from a deep place of love and light. And I just want you to know that. I want you to understand it, and I want you to be able to call in and ask what you need to ask. Okay, so I hope you can all hear me all right. I'm going to talk a little bit louder as we move forward. Now, I don't know if I thought I had a caller. Do I have a caller on the line? I thought I might, but I guess I don't. Okay.
Yes.
I do have a caller. Hello.
Hello, Donna.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm glad you brought up this subject.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Spokane, Washington.
Great. And what's your name?
Don.
Hi, Don. Okay, so how can we help you tonight?
Well, I've been grieving over the loss of my best friend for a couple of weeks, and one thing I've never been able to do when grieving is I've never been able to cry. And I feel on like I need to cry, I'm the verge of crying, but I just can't release a lot of the grieving.
And if you were to just answer me quickly, make it up, well, why do you think that is? First thing that comes to your head. Doesn't have to make sense.
I don't know. I guess that when I was a little kid, I was I was ashamed for crying.
Right.
It's the only thing I can figure.
Well, I think that's a good part of it. The other piece, Don, is it has to do with a weakness that you feel. Somehow crying has to do with a weakness, but in this particular case, this best friend, the part of what's going on here, what I'm hearing from the records, is part of the reason you can't cry is because the part of you that is still very angry about this friend leaving.
Surely.
Okay. Was the friend a male or female?
Female.
Okay. And do you mind sharing her first name?
Martha.
Okay. And she left about 2 weeks ago, correct? That's what you said?
More than a month ago now.
More than a month ago.
But
okay.
It's still heavy on my heart.
Well, sure. And the idea of losing someone that was physically there and is not physically there anymore is very hard. Do you want to cry about your loss?
Well, I just like to get past. I've been working diligently to get past this.
And have you ever lost anyone before in your life?
Surely.
And how long did it take for you to get past that?
I don't know. It depended upon how closely bonded I was.
Right.
And how.
So the idea here is that expecting to be past it in a little bit more than a month or whatever is what's going on here is there's a what they're showing me is like a a wall around your heart that you won't allow yourself to get through. It's like there's a pressure on your heart. It's as if someone is pushing their hand against your heart. It's a pressure. And the pressure has to do with not wanting to feel what you felt for this woman now. Because what I'm also hearing is, when she was alive, there were issues between you that you also couldn't get past. Is that correct?
Okay.
Does that make
sense
to you? Okay. And so the anger that you're feeling is an anger for her leaving, and there's also an anger at yourself, and the fear is if you once release this grief and really work with it from a depth of emotion, that you won't be able to pull yourself together. They're showing me, and I don't know what this means, and maybe you will, they're showing me Humpty Dumpty on the wall. That if you were to really allow this, you would just fall into pieces. Is that one of your fears?
I don't sense that.
Okay, so you feel you could handle the grief?
Oh, yeah.
So how deep do you want to go with this releasing, Don?
So I can move on effectively.
And so what do you believe it will take in order for you to move on effectively? What has to happen?
Well, what I'm working on is getting into using the book to call The Presence Process by Michael Stone, which I've used last summer to get past some anger issues.
Did you say by Sylvia Brown?
No,
I didn't hear who it was by. Michael Brown? Okay.
He's been on BBS a number of times. That's where I learned about him.
But the idea here is there seems to be some kind of reasoning within you that you should be over this grieving by now. Why?
Well, I've given myself essentially a 3-month period. And so,
how long were you in a relationship how long were you in a relationship with this woman?
Well, she was my best friend for more than 3 years.
And so you're only giving it a year, a month a year?
Okay. I'm listening.
Okay. And so the issue here is that your desire not to feel sad about your loss is an unrealistic desire.
Okay, I got it.
The reality is that you're going to feel sad for a long time because she was a dear friend.
Right.
And it's okay to feel sad, but that doesn't mean that even though you feel sad, you can't move on with your life.
I got it.
Okay. The other piece is...
Thank you.
Is that, yeah... Really look at that. And look at how honoring her would be the way to merge with the grieving. What way are you spending in honoring your time and your friendship with her?
Yeah, well, I've essentially closed her out of my mind too much, I think.
Right. And so what I'm hearing, and they're showing me, did she have a special connection with flowers?
Very much so.
Right.
We garden together.
Exactly. And that's exactly what they're showing me. They're showing me that if you were to move and merge into your garden together, that she never has to be more than a thought away anyway. And that it's time for you to create a place in the garden that especially for Martha, with the flowers that she loved, with whatever pots that she happened to especially care for, and even in the times that things don't grow well, to create some type of honoring so that she, that you have, you show her that you honored every moment you were with her. The honoring is what will ease your heart.
Okay.
And you have
I'll
to
open
always,
up to
all,
that.
Exactly. And now I want you to also just imagine right now, I want you just to imagine that beautiful light in the center of your chest. There you go. And I want you to imagine and just move back into time when you were laughing with Martha as you were gardening. And I want you to connect with the gratitude that you had and yet you have for being a part of her life and for her being a part of your life. Just move into that tenderness. Move into that light. And know that no matter what happens or where you are, you were gifted with an unconditional love and friendship that has not gone away, but has been magnified by her spirit being willing to be with you for as long as you need her, as long as you want her. Not to prevent you from doing anything, but to encouraging, to be encouraging to you to be all that you can be in honor of yourself, which will also honor her. Does that help?
Well, I appreciate your time so much.
I hope it was helpful. And I hope you really move into the fullness of being, because you already are there. It's just a matter of you pushing back the veil to see your magnificence.
Okay.
Okay?
Have a good night.
You too. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we really, really appreciated Don calling in. You know, many times that's exactly what we need to do, is we need to be able to release our grief either for a person who left or for situations that we didn't handle well or for situations that didn't show up in our lives. Many times our grief is more about what we didn't do or what didn't happen to us. And we hold out many times that those issues. And so releasing that and becoming very clear and square into our reality is very important. Very important. You know, it's interesting, along the same lines, I had an email from a very loyal listener who was talking about the statement of "I love you." And one of the things that, if you've ever called me on my private line, you'll know that my part of my voicemail is to tell those you love them, including yourself. And yet, when women tell men, "I love you," or even when men say, "I love you" to women, there seems to be a lot of baggage around that for some people, not for everyone, but for some people, the idea of saying "I love you" carries a lot of fear, anger, frustration, memory of hurt. And so what I would like you to consider or think about is what would have to happen for you to feel free enough to say "I love you" to someone without meaning that you are in love with them. There's a big difference between saying "I love you" and saying "I'm in love with you." And I want you to just notice the difference in how that feels. There are so many folks that are afraid of commitment because they have been hurt. And the person they're most angry at is themselves for feeling foolish or for falling too soon or for having those kinds of feelings. And so what we really want to do is talk to you about where your fear is and how that you can neutralize that fear so you can first tell yourself you love you and then you can move on to telling other people you love you. So, you know, all those lists, if you've listened before, you know that that the record keepers are big on telling you to make lists of things that you want to work on. And so the issue here has to do with one of the ways that you can truly feel independent and reclaim your power is to begin making a list of all the things that you feel angry about or that you feel when you say, I love you. How does that word love constrict you? Where is the fear around the I love you? Where is the fear around the commitment? So you want to just look at that. And you want to be able to look at the logic behind the feelings. Because many times the fear around I love you or the frustration or the lack of desiring of commitment has everything to do with not trusting yourself. And if you don't trust yourself, the idea of saying I love you or having someone else say I love you is a very scary thing, especially if you don't trust yourself. Because when you say I love you to someone or you hear them say it to you, and let's just go one way for now. If you hear someone say I love you, the fear that pops up is about what that commitment may mean. Oh no, they said they love me. What does that mean for me? What do I have to do about that? How do I have to act? And the reality is, you don't have to act anyway. If you feel love for the person, great. If you're not there yet, it's okay to be honest about it. You don't have to love someone just because they love you. And you need to look at that. And you need to be very straight about it, not in a nasty way or an aggressive way, but in a way that says, I'm not ready to say those words. And then it's up to you to really look within yourself and ask yourself, what would have to happen for you to feel comfortable in saying that or feel comfortable in receiving it? Because the reaction is about you. Whether or not someone loves you, you can't control that any more than you can control whether you love someone or not. So I really want you to think about that. And if someone's having some challenges about it, let's give a call and let's talk about it. I think that would be very interesting. Let's talk about where you're feeling and what you're thinking. The number here to call is 888-815-9756. Oh, and remember, if you're interested in that being a part of that new database, and again, this is not about selling the database or giving it to anybody else. It's just to find out people who are interested in possibly joining the spiritual dating community. You want to be able to email me at info@akashicwisdom.com and put spiritual dating in the subject line and then include in the body of the email your name, your address, city and state, and your phone number. Okay, and I will then give you a call and then tell you a little bit more about it. And if you're interested in it, great. And if you're not, okay too. This is just a dry run, if you say, to see how many folks would be interested in knowing more about how to be connected to the possibility of someone through the Akashic Records, matchmaking with the Akashic Records. So we're talking about I love you, and we're talking about independence and And so I want to hear from you. I loved hearing from Don, and I hope that he moves forward to honor Martha in a very special way. Now, I want to also mention that we have a situation where there is, I had another email, just I want to talk about this email. Actually, this email went into my spam, and I didn't get it. It was sent back in June. And the interesting thing about this email is this gal emailed me and wanted to know if, in fact, well, first of all, let me just kind of preface this by saying that there was a caller on Sunday, I guess the 28th, June 28th, that a woman had suffered some abuse. And so this gal emailed me thanking me for helping her. And then she was wondering that about herself because she had been in that situation, and she has realized her healing potential both for herself and others. And what she wanted to know is that if, in fact, the records had an opinion about whether or not abused women would, you know, once they got over their abuse, if they would be good at becoming healers or great healers. And the information on that is that those people who are drawn to the healing profession are always, in fact, what the record keepers are telling me is that everyone who is in a healing profession has been wounded in one way or another. Now, it may not always been has been it may not always have been physical abuse, or but in many cases it can be emotional abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse, and there are things that human beings have brought themselves out of, and the actual abuse, whatever it may be, is what actually expanded the compassion and opened up the heart so that the person, the individual, could really realize their ability in not only healing, but their ability in being empathetic and the compassion part of being open to helping other people. So I just want you to consider that. Just consider it. And consider how being a healer or what it would be like to be a healer. A wonderful question just came forward. The question is, can you love someone else if you don't love yourself? I think that's an excellent question. That's very, very, very good. The important piece around that is, let me just wait for the record keeper. I don't want to get Donna's answer in here. I want the record keepers to give me the answer. You can only love someone else to the extent that you're able to love and accept yourself. And what that means is that there are parts of us, and again, this is on a different level, different scale for every individual. But if, in fact, you are at odds and feel less than, it will be impossible for you to totally love in a healthy way another individual. If, in fact, you are at a state of loving, but yet you feel insecure and don't feel yourself good enough, you can only love another person to the extent that you need the other person to help you feel better about you. And so therefore, it's very important when you are in love that you really look at why you're in love with the other person. Because you want to be aware that neediness is not lovingness. when you're in a need position, it's not a love position. When you're in a victim position, it's not a love position. If you're going after the love by being a victim that the other person has to rescue, that's not a healthy relationship, and it's not a healthy loving, because it isn't even loving. There's a dance going on, and that dance is not healthy. So it's very important that you consider your relationships today, and you consider what it feels like not only to be in love, but what it feels like to love and be loved, because those are three different feelings. There is a way of being in love with love. There's an element of loving someone else. There's an element of loving yourself. And then there's the element of being willing to receive love. Now, there are relationships out there where there is abuse, that one partner or another is abusing the other, and the other partner sees that as love because that's what they learned as a child equates to love. So working on yourself about what it means to love yourself is very important. You know, we carry the information of love and what it means to be loved and to receive love from what we observed when we were kids, what we observed on television, what we observed not only in our household, what we observed outside at our friend's house or outside at our relative's house. As little children, we're just little sponges. And we start gathering, what does it mean to love? What does it mean to be loved? What do I have to do to get love? And so all of those layers, all of that information is really right in your field of wisdom that you carry within your body and around your body. And so when you're working on a relationship and when you're working about being in love with someone or your love with yourself, it's really about being aware of the different layers and the different nuances within you. Now, it's funny, I actually hear somebody out there saying, oh, Donna, that sounds like so much work. Why can't I just love somebody and just love them and be happy? Well, you can. Absolutely. But it's so much easier when you just love yourself first and then you allow the other person to love you. Because when you don't love yourself, it's so hard to receive love from someone else. I mean, how many people do you know that have a relationship with another person, and whatever that person does isn't good enough? Because the way the person loves doesn't stack up to the standards of what the other person's standards are or definitions are for loving. So if you have one person who has a definition of loving, of giving your partner a kiss hello every time you walk in the door, and the other person's definition of loving or being loved is when another person brings flowers home and the other one doesn't, you have a real discrepancy there, because you have two different communication issues. And I'm trying to treat this lightly, but I really want you to understand or to note what your loving style is. Many times when I counsel couples through the Akasha in relationships, one of the questions that comes up that the record keepers like to have couples answer is, what do you do? In other words, they ask each other, what do you do that shows me that you love me. And so the record keepers have, again, here comes the list, a list of 3 to 5 things that each partner does to show the other partner that they love them. The reason that's important is because, let's say, and I'm just going to do this, you'll excuse the gender aspect of it, but let's say the guy considers taking out the garbage one of the ways that he shows his wife or his lover or his partner that he loves her, because he knows she hates doing it. So one of the ways he shows her that he loves her is by taking out the garbage. But she doesn't see that as a sign of being of him showing her he loves her. She sees that as something he has to do. But now when he writes it down, and she sees that as a demonstration, well, I do it because I love you, because I know you don't want to. Every time he's taking out the garbage, it's like him saying, I love you, to her. So the idea here is to have a conversation with the one you love and say, tell me how you show me you love me so I don't miss it. And that's what helps couples get on the same page from a communication point of view. Because sometimes we have a tendency to take ourselves for granted, or take our partners for granted. We don't ever want to do that. And so relationships and love can definitely be helped and counseled and coached and encouraged and expanded with the help of the Akashic Records. So one of the things I also want to mention, just to bring it around here, since we're talking about this, is that for those people who are considering taking the Level 1 class at the end of July, if in fact you have a partner that you love very much, it would be wonderful for you, both of you, to take it together. Because taking the Akashic Records class with someone you love is fabulous, because then the two of you can actually open your records together when you're having discussions, when you're wanting to go to a museum together, if you want to go to a musical concert, and it just expands the energy to such a great degree that it puts you truly on the same page. Now, can you be on the same page with when one person knows how to access their Akashic Records and another person doesn't? On certain things, I'm sure you can be on the same page. But how much more expansive it can be when you both are in the energy of the Akasha, it's truly magnificent. Because you're sharing a space and an energy and a dimension and a frequency that actually expands your love for each other. And the same thing goes with friends, by the way. You know, if you're reading a book together and you know how to access your Akashic Records, that book comes alive in a whole different way when you both access the Akasha. So if that's of interest to you, please call me. My private number, by the way, is 216-691-1233. And that's, you can get a hold of me 24 hours a day. You won't disturb me if you call at 4 o'clock in the morning, because I won't hear it, but I'll pick it up the next day. But it is a confidential line that you can call. So getting back to the wounded healer aspect, because this is all connected, you know. What the reason why this is all connected is that there are folks walking around unsure of what they want to do with the rest of their life, and feeling that they have been wounded in a way that they can't heal, or wounded in a way that they want to heal and don't know how. And the first step is to truly become compassionate with yourself and move into a place of what you truly want to do based on that compassion and love. And when you come upon that compassion, that love, and you're able to say, I love you, to yourself, and take the woundedness and put it beside you rather than in front of you. Because if you put your woundedness in front of you, it'll always be there, and it's something that you will always fear again. If you put the woundedness to your side, then you never have to worry about it. If you put it behind you, you always have a tendency to look back. And it's not about the past. It's about choices of the here and now. It's not about candy coating anything. But the whole point is to move into the space of loving yourself. That's what brings you your own personal independence. And when you're able to really claim that independence of self, you don't worry about what anybody else says or thinks about you. You only know that you're okay within you. You have truly got the freedom that you've been looking for. And when you have that freedom, you can walk tall and you never have to worry about anything again because you are now the model that other people look up to. And you can truly lead from a place of love, a place of independence, a place of power, and a place of freedom. And at that point is when you're truly able to manifest that which you want from a place of knowing. Because when you are in that space of knowing, you realize that nothing can hurt you unless you allow it. And even if it does hurt, you can actually be able to look at that hurt from a place of a higher realm of knowing. Now, does that mean grief can be eliminated? No, but grief does not have to stop you. You can be sad about losing someone through no fault of your own, but you still move forward in your own power. The grief does not have to control you. When you allow grief to control you, you're in a victim stance. There's nothing wrong with feeling sad. There's nothing wrong with missing, and there's nothing wrong with having your heartache. But that doesn't mean that you have to wear it, and be a victim of it. Because as soon as you start feeling sad, to the point that it grips you and you can't do anything else, you need to realize that's not honoring the person who left. Because truth be known, they would never want you to do that. They would want you to be joyous about your time together. Which is basically what we were saying to Don earlier. So you see, it all revolves around the same thing, doesn't it? We come here to this planet. This planet is a planet of struggle. It's a struggle getting out of the womb. It's a struggle even having a good time. And we learn from that struggle. And we embrace the struggle. And we embrace what we learn and experience. And then we move on. And every time we learn something that allows us to move on, that motivates us forward, we are stronger and taller and more beautiful than before. I want you just to consider that. You know, it's interesting. I was listening, you know, as I mentioned, on July 19th, my show is moving to Station 2. It'll be at 7:55 rather on Sunday, 7:55 rather than 8 o'clock. Pacific time, and it's going to be right after the Dr. Brooke Agnew show. And he was talking to he has like 3 hours. And what's interesting about his show is like he has three different guests, at least he did today. And one of his guests was a woman by the name of Jessica who was talking about the inner earth. And it was so interesting because many things that she was saying, the record keepers were verifying. And if you remember that we were talking about the crop circles and about how things that are, that the crop circles were coming from underneath the earth and that there were stations under the earth, and that it was very interesting because there was a lot of, and she wasn't necessarily talking about extraterrestrials so much as she was talking about the fact that our planet has an interior to it that has a whole different universe. The same way that there is a whole different universe outside, you know, in our ethers, in our galaxies. And that we as humans only know one, you know, or a couple of dimensions, if you will. And there's so much more for us to learn and know. This is a fascinating show. So if you have access to archives, I encourage you to listen in to Dr. Brooke Agnew's show on Station 2 whenever you like to do that. Okay, well, we've got 10 more minutes on the air, so if you're going to call, this would be the time. Okay, let's get to some good conversation. And it's interesting because no one called in at his show either. And what his reasoning on that was that people don't call in because they are listening so intently to what's being said. Well, okay, so I want to shake you from that and say, okay, let's see what we can do for you. You can dial 888-815-9756. So I want to hear from you. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about matchmaking. Let's talk about independence or healing, or whatever's on your mind. I'd love to hear from you. Again, 888-815-9756. That's worldwide, toll-free. Okay. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the workshop that's coming up. And that workshop that's coming up in Cleveland, Ohio, is about the Akashic Records. And it helps you understand what the records are. It teaches you how to access the records. It teaches you how to use the actual Akashic Records in your life. You see, I access the Akashic Records through a holy prayer. And the prayer itself is a vibrational key. And what we do is we say the prayer, and it actually expands the energy around us and opens us up to the information of the Akasha. And that's what I was saying before, is you can use the Akashic Records in every area of your life. So, for example, let's say you wanted to increase your creativity. You could easily do that by opening your own personal Akashic Records and then going ahead and writing a book, writing music, creating art, whatever you would like to do that's creative. Or let's say that you're in a physician or a practitioner. You can actually expand your healing energy by opening up your own personal Akashic Records and working with your clients. And that's not invasive because you're not getting into their stuff. What you're doing is asking the record keepers how you can best serve them. So this is very practical applications. There's more applications than that as well. And if you're interested in this, I can certainly email you some information on that. Again, my email is info@akashicwisdom.com. And that's the same name as the show, Akashic Wisdom. Okay, I think I have a caller. Here's a caller. Hello.
Hi, Donna.
Yes.
Hi, it's JoJo. How's it going?
Oh, good, JoJo. How are you?
I'm good. I was waiting for someone else to call in, but if there's no taker...
Oh, no, come on. That's great. You know what? I got to tell you, though. Last week, when you were on the show, there was somebody who emailed me and wanted to know what your website was. So can you just give your website out to us, please?
Sure. It's shaikenphoto.com, and let me spell that. It's shaikenphoto.com.
Is it singularphoto.com?
What?
It's just one photo. It's like not photos. It's
photo.
Okay, .com. Okay, all right. Good. Okay, so what's your question? What's going on?
Well, just funny because I was engrossed in what you were saying because today I basically closed off a relationship. I was in a marriage and was very abusive. And like you said, somehow in my mind that's what love was. But I kept waking up to it more and more and more because this was a short marriage. It was like 2.5 months.
Oh,
wow.
I guess
by most standards from people I was talking to, it's like I got off easy or something, but it was not easy. And yeah, I really had to start thinking, like, what is love? Am I loving myself? So everything you just said was right on. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. How long did you know this person before you married her?
Years. And we were together last year and then had time apart and then came back together earlier this year and really tried to make a go of it, but I know it was lessons I had to learn and lessons she had to learn.
Uh-huh.
I was done learning.
Well, it sounds like you learned what you needed to learn.
I did, and
yeah.
I had confirmation over this weekend, and that's the thing. So in what you were saying, I guess I'd like to ask the Akashic Records, what are signs I should look for in a healthy person that will actually love me in a kind and gentle and nurturing way? Like, what are some of the clues? Because I obviously was missing them before.
Well, I think one of the things that you have to do is decide how you want to feel about yourself first.
Yeah.
And remember, a healthy relationship is one that contains honor. So it's really important that you feel honored by your partner and you want to honor them. So it's a very integrity-based relationship.
Okay.
The other piece is consideration. It's interesting. My youngest son is, let's see, he's going to be 33 this year. And when he was younger, like probably around 20, what he told me is, I don't know how he got on the subject, but he said that he always looked at when a woman would get in the car, because he'd open the door for her. And he had the kind of car that didn't have the electric locks. So he would always look and to see if she reached over and opened his door before he got in. And he said that the women that didn't, he pretty much never called back.
Yeah.
And the reason for that was because it was a consideration, you know? Like, you know, they weren't considered enough. They just, the ones that just sat there and waited for him, like, to open the door and not didn't open it. I know that sounds like a little thing, but that's a small clue of where a consideration piece is. So it's really about looking for a woman who is considerate of you.
Yeah.
Because you're worth it. And the other piece is, you know, what the record keepers are saying, JoJo, is that you always want so much to please them that it's hard for you to receive pleasure from them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. And so the idea here is you don't have to work so hard.
Okay.
It's not that you don't want to you don't want to impress them, you want to consider them. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds
Take
like that was
slow,
a hard thing
in other
to hear.
Words.
Say again?
Take things slow, in other words.
Sure. Get to know them first. You know, it's interesting. Did you ever watch that show on cable called Millionaire Matchmaker?
I haven't seen it, no.
It's a pretty good show. The reason why it's funny is because one of the things this woman says is that she, when she's matching the millionaires to whoever she's matching them with, she requires them not to have any sex until it's in a committed relationship. So that it's a matter of only getting to know the person and never jumping into bed until you're in a committed relationship, that it's a monogamous committed relationship. That's the only way she recommends that people move forward. And I'm not suggesting that you don't do that, but I'm suggesting there's a lot of people out there that consider the bedroom to be the barometer about whether or not you're going to get along, and that's not the barometer.
Yeah, I know that.
That might be one of them, but it's certainly not the barometer.
Yeah, it's not the number one.
No. And so the idea here is it really has to do with you imagining what would you like a relationship to feel like, and what would you, in other words, like, and not from a needy point of view, but from a healthy point of view. And the healthy point of view comes from you knowing you. Is that helpful?
Yeah, it's very helpful. Very helpful.
So if you were to imagine the perfect relationship now, if you were to think of one, I know that I'm putting you on the spot, but,
yeah. You
know, again, you really have to just imagine what it would feel like to be with someone.
Easy, peaceful.
Easy.
Right. Know, I guess the simple things.
Yeah.
Simple things, but I have gone out of my way to make it a challenge. I know that. But yeah, so peaceful, easy, just, I guess, reciprocal, nurturing.
Yeah.
You know, feminine. It'd be nice to have someone that was feminine.
Yeah, well, that always helps if you're looking for a woman.
Yeah. Yeah, I missed that one.
yeah.
Before.
Yes.
Let's see here. Yeah, just kind.
Yeah.
And respectful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, but the other thing is...
feel.
It's a different feel, isn't it?
Ease and the feel of, like, being able to breathe as opposed to feeling like constant work, hope against hope, hoping for miracles. Totally different polarity.
Right. And so the other piece is that if it's not easy, why bother?
Yeah.
Love is easy. Love doesn't have to be tough. Love feels easy right away. Love doesn't bring anxiety. Love just is. And you're so worth it.
It's all these little phrases that kind of key in, right?
Yeah.
Love doesn't bring anxiety.
No, love does not bring anxiety. Not at all. And it's not just about the woman being, you know, it's not just the woman that makes it easy to be loved. It's you being easy to love.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. And I realize I have a lot of work to do because this just happened to be the one that woke me up.
And here's the piece of getting over that. It's time for you to feel grateful for her. Thank you for showing me what I don't want. See, and if you really know from this relationship what you don't want, as soon as you see that in somebody else, that's going to be a perfect red flag not to continue.
Yep.
So that was a gift.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I know it was. I'm still a little reeling from the actual disconnect, but I know it was a gift. So.
Well, it was a gift, and the other thing is again, you have to know that, and it's really going to be important for you not to consider yourself anything but a winner in this. The reason why you're a winner is because you still have the freedom of choice. You still have yourself. And what you don't need is someone that doesn't love you to be with you. Someone who doesn't honor you and care for you and doesn't think that you're the best thing since sliced bread, you shouldn't be with that person. You know, it's like love is exciting, it's fun, it's easy.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, it's like I know I was working so hard for it, but then again, it's like if it's already there.
Yeah.
If love is already there, then you don't, it's already there.
Yeah, there was like it feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels good, it feels easy, it's comfortable. It's funny because my son is getting married in August. And one of the, it's my daughter and his fiancée's sister-in-law were talking one day, and something they were the ones that the real matchmakers, because it was a long distance relationship. He lived in California, lived in Boston, and so the two sisters-in-laws, if you will, and the sister were talking, and she said, I guess my daughter said something about, my brother needs someone who really knows how to wear a baseball cap. His fiancée's sister-in-law says, well, my sister-in-law knows how to do that really well. And the whole key was he needed somebody that could be formal and laid back at the same time. That was just a kind of a clue for them, okay? And the reality is you have to be able to get clear about the criteria of what's important to you in a relationship. You have to be clear about what kinds of things do you want to share with this person. So I hope you email me, all right, that you would like to be a part of our spiritual dating community.
What's that?
maybe you weren't listening earlier. What I want to do...
No, I just got back from the beach, and I turned your show on, and there you were talking about what I needed to hear.
So I'm a little over, but what I want to do is I want to be able to offer people the opportunity to get matched with via the Akashic Records.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so I'm seeing how much interest there is, so I'm asking people who are interested to send me their name, their address, and their phone number of who would like to be on, a part of my spiritual dating community. And so if that's of interest to you, at this point, I'm just gathering names, and we're going to see what we come up with. It's all in the beginning now. And I keep the names for myself. I wouldn't do anything else with them. I'm not going to be referring you to somebody until I have somebody or until I talk to you. So it's not like I would be sharing your information with anyone. But
okay.
I'm just gathering people to see if they're interested. It's all confidential, and nobody gets anybody's information until, we really figure out how this is going to work. So it's safe with me. It's just a matter of seeing who's interested. One of the things, though, that a listener emailed me while we were talking, is she suggested that we, all those folks out there that we vision, okay, we all imagine and see a loving woman come into JoJo's life. So I think we just take a moment and do that. Just imagine a loving woman coming into your life. There you go. Okay, open your heart. That's a guy. There you go. Okay. All right. Well, we are really over, so I have to close this show.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Donna.
You're welcome. I hope this was helpful. And let me know if you'd like to be a part of our spiritual dating community. Again, everything is totally confidential. I'm not going to be sharing anything with anybody until we get this whole thing going, and then I'll let you know what it's all about, and anybody who wants to stay in, stays in. Anybody who wants to opt out can opt out. Okay?
All right, and thank you for all the prayers.
All right, thank you. Okay, all right. You have a good night, too. Bye-bye. All right, so we have to close the show, folks. I love you all so much. I'm so glad you got these calls. So I'm going to close the show because I want us to, and remember, July 19th, we're going to shift over to Station 2, and then we won't be able to go over because Almaine is going to be after us. So we have to stay right to our hour once we shift over. But now we're going to close the show, and I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that all those listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records and say amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed, and if you would all join me in saying amen. Here's to love, everyone, and independence, too. Have a great week, and I will talk to you next week. All righty. Bye-bye.